There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
This is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bach, and thank you very much for joining me today. You know, I'm just going to put this out here real fast before we get to our guest, and that is simply that I am starting kind of a support group for anybody who wants to kind of join in what I'm doing over here. Just a very quick story. Last year, throughout all of 2020, I had lost about 80 pounds, and that was great. And it seemed relatively effortless. It was work, but it went pretty quickly without really any relapses or anything. And here I am now in 2021, and I find myself gaining weight and not really enjoying it, to be very honest. It's been very difficult for me to stay strict, and really my plan wasn't strict at all. But to stay on it. And so now I'm at a point where I've gained enough back that I'm going to take some measures and talk to some people to help me and get me back on track. But so I'm going to be using this on occasion, not every week, but on occasion to give updates or anything. And feel free to join in, whether in the chat, whether, you know, you want to call in and say something, whatever you want to do to just if you want to work with me, if you want to do your own thing and share your successes and inspire us, that's something that I would be very, very open to, because it's tough, isn't it? It's really tough to do this and to find success. And it's amazing how my goal has always been losing 2 pounds a week, which is seems like that, you know, it's very difficult, but to gain the 2 pounds back is extraordinarily easy. So, any sort of help that we can give each other is always, always going to be appreciated. So I just really wanted to throw that out there because this week I'm going to be taking some steps to make some changes that I'm really excited about, to be honest. It's long overdue. And for those of you who have done this, I mean, that's the one thing, right? We can always talk about how great you felt when it was working and that you're losing the weight and you can see the difference in yourself. Why can we not recapture that feeling and be able to put aside those temptations and the stuff that, you know, really, ultimately, the stuff that we're eating, the stuff that I'm eating, stuff I'm drinking, like I'm a big pop addict and I hate it. That stuff doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse. But yet here I am. It just wears me down, and yet I'm still drinking it, opposed to drinking all the stuff that you should be drinking and eating the stuff you should be eating. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre how we work, because the stuff that makes us feel good, should be easy enough to make us feel good and keep it going. So once again, I don't want to do this alone. You shouldn't have to do it alone. Feel free to lean on each other to try to, you know, make a support group, try to make a difference, try to make yourself healthier. It's all worth it. So that's all I'm going to say on it. Am I going to need a demonology for this, though? That's the question. I mean, are we going to need to get very serious or semi-serious? But we're going to start. We're going to ask the tough questions and see if maybe I do need that instead of a diet. Maybe I need some sort of exorcism or something. I'm really excited. Today, I'm going to bring on Reverend Neil Farley. You know, I've always have a lot of time for Rev. He is a straight shooter, cares deeply for everyone and their spiritual safety. Reverend Neil Farley is an ordained minister, demonologist, and spiritual counselor. Rev will do house blessings and personal blessings for individuals or families in spiritual trouble. And quite honestly, Rev and I have a lot of catching up to do. Reverend Neil Farley, Welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be back with you.
It's great to have you back. It really is. Now, folks, if you have a question for Rev, if you want to talk about anything he's going to talk about today, we're going to be talking about demonology. We're going to be talking about spiritual connections, all this wonderful stuff that he is so, so good at. If you have any questions, call us. We're at 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I am streaming on a lot of networks right now on Facebook. I'm on AM 950 Radio, the Facebook page for that, as well as Paranormal United Network 2. I am on Minnesota Ghost Box, as well as Parafriends Events. I am checking those pages for comments, so if you have a comment you want to leave, please do so there. You can also email us, comment at am950radio.com. There's really not an excuse to not talk to us today, basically what it comes down to. So I'm really not sure where to start because there's a lot going on. I think the thing, though, that I kind of want to maybe get going with is the last time I talked to you, it was a different iteration of my show. It wasn't on AM 950. But at that point, we were talking about what you had done, what you were doing, how you're helping people, but you had taken a break from it all. And I'm just curious, because now you are back. Now you're back helping people. If you don't mind me asking, what happened?
I have a kind of a rare disorder, a rare form of neuropathy. It's called sensory motor polyneuropathy. It's a lot of people are diabetic neuropathy in their feet. Poly means throughout the whole body, so I have it in my hands, my neck, and knees, and throughout my whole body. There's not a whole lot of study on it. There's not a whole lot of financing for research on it. They mostly focus on peripheral neuropathy. And as a result of it, I was on pain medication for years for the neuropathy. And then as the opioid crisis came out and people were dying, I said, I don't want to be on this stuff anymore. So I weaned myself off of it. And as a result of weaning, the withdrawal symptoms, one of the major withdrawal symptoms is sweating. Mm-hmm. Sweating is my radar for when a demon is around me.
That's right.
When a demon comes around me or I sense any kind of really high negative energy, I will start to sweat. Once that happens, then my ears start to go. I start to hear them. Once I start to hear them, then I can focus on the direction of where they are, and then I can see them. And that is how I've protected myself throughout all these years of doing house blessings and cleansings, is through that signal. But when you're sweating all the time, the signal is gone. It's just you're sweating all the time. So I couldn't tell if it was around me or, I started because of the withdrawal. So it's taken almost like 2 years now, since I've been off of the opioid medications, to where now I'm not sweating anymore. And I can sense now when I do sweat, I know where it's coming from.
Okay. So that wasn't a permanent thing. That was only something that would from you having to wean yourself off of it, basically.
Right. But sweating is my radar.
Right.
And without it, I am dead. And you can't do what I do without knowing where everything's coming from. And once my radar is up, there's nothing going to get to me without me knowing it. And I can't help people if I can't see what's hurting them.
No. And to get back to neuropathy for a second, my dad had that, and seeing that debilitation from that, I don't wish that upon anybody. That is truly it's tough to watch. It's tough to see somebody who such as my father, who was a very fit person, worked in construction, did a lot of heavy work, and to see him kind of shrivel up because it was in his hands and his legs and his feet. It's horrible. Now, I have to ask the question if it ever came across, but I mean, since it went away, maybe it's not the case. Did you ever feel like any of this, like reaction, like the sweating coming out from the from getting off the medication? Did you ever think that was some sort of demon thing because they knew what, how you acknowledge them. You know, that they knew that was your radar. Was that ever a consideration on your end?
Absolutely. I mean, because I'm out and there's spirits. I see spirits everywhere. So I'm out there with them. I don't make eye contact. I've learned to blank my brain so they can't pick up any signals that I'm thinking about them or have any interest in them. And that's how I survive, because it doesn't take a whole lot to get one, two, three around you. So so sweating all the time, I can't tell where the bad ones were, you know, or the dark ones were. And so I rely on my spiritual guide, my spiritual guard, to help me. And they protected me, and I've stayed away from the doors, you know, from opening the wrong doors. And so the combination of the two has allowed a lot of reflection time to reflect on my work, and allow me to get back into it, hopefully with a new perspective.
That's great. I was so happy, literally so happy to hear that you were back into it. And also, and we're going to take a break here in a second, but I just want to say also, there's been a couple times I've been talking to you and you sounded pretty worn down. And the last time you and I had a conversation, interview, I was so happy to hear how full of energy you were. And I think that that was super helpful. What we're going to do, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I have a few people who have been asking questions, and we're going to get those questions to you, Rev, and go from there. You are listening to Ghostbox Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Ghostbox Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is demonologist and spiritual counselor, Reverend Neil Farley. You know, I said before the break that I was going to have some listener questions on, and I lied. I'm going to hold that back for another segment, because there's a couple things I wanted to ask. First of all, that one thing that I know is important as a demonologist, as just anyone who wants to really be in tune with spirit and be very spiritual, that you have to take very good care of yourself. And I'm not trying to call anyone out here, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. And that is that I had a friend who he was going through kind of a funny turn, so to speak. He didn't know if it was like there was something, and I reached out to you about it actually, you know, and that he needed some guidance. I wasn't sure if it was demons or whatnot, but would like some counseling about it. And I had reached out to a few people about it. And one of the responses I got back from a demonologist that he was busy, which totally makes sense. He was going through some very heavy stuff of his own. But what he said worried me. And he said, that being said, if he is possessed, meaning the person I was asking about, I then leave myself open to attack from what he may have. And to me, that scared me. You know, completely scared me, because I can't imagine that's what you would do, or that's what you would recommend anybody to do, to be like, well, you know what, have them attack me then, send them my way, because that doesn't seem to be, you know, that seems to be opening yourself up to a lot of bad news.
Absolutely. I mean, if the person, the thing that is that you have to determine if the person is demonically possessed in the first place. And so that's the red flag. Without knowing that, I would say that you just, if you're going to try to help this person, keep it light. Don't let him drag you into the dark, because once you do that, that's where the invitation comes. But if you keep it light, you keep it happy, and just say, you know, try to even make jokes of it or whatever you need to do to keep it on the light side and not let yourself get too deeply involved in the conversation of the dark parts of it, because these things are listening to it, and all you're doing is reminiscing. And if it's a demon involved in it, He's just laughing. He's like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I remember doing that. That was great. I did that to him. Yeah, I did that to him. You don't want to do that.
No.
You want to talk about moving forward. And then once it's established, either by a priest or someone who's more capable of figuring out the situation, then you can let them take it over, you know?
Yeah. Well, and two, if I'm asking for your help, I want you to be in complete control of your faculties and not have something be attacking you, because I need you to be as sharp as possible, because if it's happening to me, I'm not sharp. You know, there's something wrong. I need you, you know, and that just seemed – and this is not meant to be ripping on this person. This is more of just like I just wanted to make sure that this isn't normal. And it just – I mean, it was – I get that it came out of wanting to be helpful. But it was scary that is this what you're doing to this person? Because if you're doing this to anyone who's reaching out to you, you're asking for a lot of trouble. You're asking for a lot of pain, I think.
Absolutely. And your mental and physical well-being when you're working with somebody has to be in good shape. You can't go in there with a virus. You can't go in there with marriage problems or anxiety or depression or anything that puts you at a weakness, that because that they will sense it. They will pick that up right away. That's why when I'm saying, if you've got somebody you think it might be possessed, keep it positive. If the person is religious, you can talk about the positive sides of God, the positive sides of Christ, or if they're Wiccan, you can talk about the positive sides of witchcraft. Whatever. That person is involved in whatever religious beliefs they believe in. You know, we have to work around everybody. I don't particularly do witchcraft, but I would recommend somebody if they ever felt it was maybe a demon caused by a spell or maybe just a spell. But mm-hmm. even in that situation, keep it positive. Don't allow yourself. You can be positive and help somebody. You do not have to go into the details of what's bothering them to help them. If you're suspicious of them possibly being divine, you don't need to take that risk.
No, because you know, I've heard other demonologists say this. When you are preparing for it, and you just said it yourself, in terms of you got to be pretty much cleansed yourself of all these outside influences that they could use to pick on you, so to speak. You're going into battle, aren't you?
Absolutely. It's similar to a virus, you know, that you're walking into a situation where you don't know the power of the virus or of the demon. You just really don't know. And there are a lot of people that push the limits, and they find out the hard way. They get an attachment, you got to know what you're doing. That's all, and you have to have some form of protection before you do that, because I would be dead without the protection that I have that's around me and surrounding me through my faith. There's no way I could ever have survived any of this without that protection, and that builds the confidence. You know, if you're going out on the football team and everybody on your team is 300 pounds or whatever, you feel confident, you know? If everybody on your team is like 68 pounds and they're not really feeling very well, what happens to confidence?
Right.
And exactly. They sense all that.
Exactly. No, and you know, I'm sure that you're seeing a fair amount through the internet, through Facebook or whatever, that I feel like I do, of people who are calling themselves demonologist, and I have to wonder where is that coming from? What are you basing that off of? Because it's easy to call yourself something, but do you really know what you're doing?
Yeah, I can't. It's hard for me to judge people as far as, you know, if they can say, well, I'm something and I'm not something. I leave that up to God to do that. If they get in a situation and they're not what they say they are, they're going to get tagged.
Yeah,
and that's the price that they're going to have to pay. You can advise them, you can do them, but if you're going to go around with a fake ID, I guarantee you there are two entities that are not going to put up with it, and that's God and Satan. They're going to know you, and they're going to call you out. That's all there is to it. So you can go and say all the names you want to, but when you get in the thick of the mud, that's where the truth comes out.
Yeah, they're gonna. Demons are gonna tear them apart. They're gonna know. They're gonna know right away.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of times they cut and run, you know, which is the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know how to stand guard.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take our next break? When we come back, we'll do those questions I've been promising you. I have some more questions also. But folks, this is such a fascinating topic. And if you have any questions that you want to get out there, call in, send us a comment, whatever. So let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with demonologist and spiritual counselor, Reverend Neil Farley. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And I've been talking to you over the last few months about why you need to be going to Collective Dimensions in Crystal, Minnesota. Not only do they sell a wide range of metaphysical goods like candles, pendulums, crystals, but also offer services like Reiki sessions, walk-in readings, and healings. Plus, they offer lots of helpful, amazing classes tailored to develop psychic abilities, empath skills, tarot, oracle card readings, and so much more. You know, they're really good people. Collective Dimensions believes in connection, inclusion, love, oneness, and compassion. Check out their website, www.collectivedimensions.com, and see what works for you. And we've had Nikki and Carl on before. Next week, Anne is going to be here in studio with me, and I'm pretty sure next Sunday we'll be heading out to Collective Dimensions to say hi to everybody there and show Anne around. It'd be a good time if you've been wanting to go out there. Maybe check it out, and we'll have more information once I actually talk to Collective Dimensions about it. This is the first they're hearing of it. We're going to maybe see if some people want to come by and say hi. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So that's, once again, that is CollectiveDimensions.com. They're located in Crystal. Please check it out. Don't forget, every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on all of my Facebook pages, you can join in to a live Spirit Box session. And that is where we try to reach out to loved ones of who have passed. They're pretty incredible, and they can be somewhat emotional. And we're going to do that tonight. We do respectful communication with spirits. It's very interactive. Join me tonight at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. That is going to be on my own profile page, as well as Minnesota Ghost Box and Paranormal United Network. So please check it out. And if you want to send me a note, ask me a question, or need my help for any paranormal investigation of your business or home, send me an email to greg@ghostboxradio.com. Send me a note. If you have any feedback about the show, please send it my way also. That would be great. Also, if you miss Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken Live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes. After listening, please leave a positive review for my show. That would be very gratefully accepted. I'd really like to get that if at all possible. Our guest today is demonologist and spiritual counselor, Reverend Neil Farley. We were just kind of talking about how in the past segment about how you have to really be ready emotionally and physically when you do this stuff. Rev, are you an exorcist or are you a demonologist?
I'm a demonologist. I don't do the exorcism or remove the dark spirits. I let God do that. A lot of in the Catholic Church, they use Christ, the name of Christ, to withdraw the demon from the person. I don't do that. I work with Archangel Michael. We go into a home. We prepare the home. And then we let God do the cleansing. But one thing that I wanted to talk to you about too,
yeah,
is that when you're working with somebody that's in a demonic situation, that before a house cleansing can be done, you have to be able to put some stability into that house.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to relieve the anxiety. You have to try to remove some of the fear. You have to give them some tools that they can learn to work together without being, because a lot of times there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of hate, and a lot of frustration, people yelling at each other, a lot of dysfunctioning going on. If you do not take care of that first, you do not clean the plane and make it and calm everybody down and get that everybody working together and kill some of that fear and some of that anxiety, it's dead in the water.
Yep.
Nothing you do is going to be done.
It's interesting.
Because this thing is feeding on that. And the last thing you want to do is when you start off, have a smorgasbord. Oh, let's have a buffet.
Yep.
So you wipe out the meal. You wipe out what they're eating as best as you can. It's difficult. It's not easy for the family to do that. But peace. I can't stress. If you can bring peace first, then everything else, it gives you a much better foundation to work on.
You know, we've run into this with private investigations because we don't, I mean, the people I run with for paranormal investigations, we're not focusing directly just on like equipment and gathering information. There's a very spiritual realm to it, a very metaphysical realm to it. And, you know, when we do like our interviews with the families or the houses to figure out who these people are, the makeup of what we're getting ourselves into, because you have to be careful for yourself as well on these things. There was one a few months ago that we were talking to somebody, and it was clear that the person that they believed who was being affected the most, you could tell just in our initial interview that she was being picked on by everybody in her family. And ultimately, we had to, for our own sake, we were very honest about it, but we also were like, we don't feel like we're the right people to help you with this because you have to start here before we can come in and do that. Basically, just what you just said.
Right. If you can do it without family therapy, that's fine. But if it looks like something that's going to require professional mental health expert involved, get them involved first. I have worked with mental health experts and got them in shape, and they helped me prepare them for the cleansing. So it's not like, you know, you're going to run across a professional doctor who's going to say, get away from these people, don't even talk about this stuff. That's not necessarily the case.
No.
So let them determine, you know, where the foundation of the fire is coming from. Because if you don't do that, you're just, like I said, you're going there with a full meal, and you're trying to fight. And that's just not the way you start off. I always, I have a two-week program that I run my families through, and they have to practice being civil to each other. They have to work on being happy, playing out games, creating family activities. All that stuff I have them do 2 weeks prior to me doing a cleansing. And if they're not ready, and I sense they're not ready, it's another 2 weeks until you can get yourselves together. And after that 2 weeks they haven't got themselves together, then I recommend family counseling.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose you're writing into people who want help like now. They don't want 2 weeks to try to figure it. They want like, hey, I need your help right now. And it just doesn't work that way, does it?
No. I'm always focused on the source of the problem. That is my pinpoint, the source of the problem. And if that source is being fed by a dysfunctional family, like I said, you're dead in the water until you fix that first.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what is it that, because I think people would be really interested in knowing, and I mean, I don't want to cater to the stuff that, you know, is fodder for the shows and stuff, but let me ask you this. I've never asked you this before. What are some of the stuff that you have seen that defies logic, you know, while you're working on cases, when you're dealing with people, you know, that there's stuff that just kind of like might make other people's hair curl a little bit, you know, stuff that's just like, this person shouldn't be doing this. It's not possible.
Since I work on the Christian faith and on the angelic side of things, we have a lot of angelic type of things that happen, that put people into tears. I've got children that have seen Christ in their rooms. I have had Bibles that were open in passages where the seam of the Bible lit, the binding in the Bible started glowing and lit the entire room. I've had people say that angels were singing all around them. I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about five or six people in a room
mm-hmm.
from all different types of, you know, situations.
Mm-hmm.
The light changing in the room from darkness to light after the darkness is gone, to actually see it and feel it and watch the room transition from this dead, muddy, dark gray feeling to, wow, did somebody clean my windows?
Mm-hmm. Like seriously lifting the whole energy of the room.
Yes, yes. Where the room, all of a sudden, it looks like somebody washed all the windows or opened the blinds or something.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, when you're talking about the stuff where people are getting, like, it's a good sort of miracle sort of thing, you know, not, you know, because sometimes we only hear about, you know, maybe somebody talking in tongues or talking in a language that they don't know or stuff being thrown at you that, you know, that you're not, that no one actually physically threw at you, you know, stuff like that. You're looking at the side where it's like, I personally have always wanted to be able to see like an angel. You know, and I'm sure I have, to be very honest. I'm sure we all have, and maybe we haven't all uh-huh. seen it. But, you know, just that whole idea of that realm, you know, that singing, that feeling,
or
that glow.
Or actually met one in a human form and didn't know it.
Right. I believe it. Because,
you know, someone who steps into your life. Maybe you were out in the water and you were starting to drown, and some person out of nowhere comes and saves you from the water, and you turn around, they're gone. You don't know. I mean, you just don't know.
No. And that's the interesting thing about it, is that you don't know. And it's but that's what makes it kind of cool. That's why I said, like, you know, maybe it's happened, but we just, not all of us know it either. You know, we don't necessarily need to be under the spell of a demon to be able to get that grace. You know, no matter how you believe or what you believe, what it is, to be able to have.
Yeah, and when I reach that point where we're ready to go in and do the cleansing, it's not, the family is sort of, you know, I do everything remotely. So the family is sort of, I've got them, I have them sitting on the couch. The kids can play their little games if they want to, but I don't want a lot of noise. But I want them all together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael and I go through the house, and we do, you know, we start off at the outside blessing the yard and doing all the door bucks with blessings and all of that, all the entrance ways and all that. And then, you know, we get inside, and then we, you know, we go right after the demon. We go right after the darkness and let them know that God is about to cleanse you, and you have a choice. You can either stand in battle or you can leave permanently. And at that point, we're done. And when God is done and we feel that lightness disappear, we feel that dark energy disappear, then so does the family. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm not done. My work is not done. I do not leave until something inspiring. Something has to be inspiring, or I'm not done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back and back and back again until I am. I'm relentless. I do not stop.
You have
Satan
to be.
Satan knows it. Demons know it. And they just, basically, they just give up.
Hmm. And then you follow up with the family to make sure nothing has
right,
come back.
Right. And they have to continue that unity, that kindness,
yep.
that caringness. Because if you don't, and you get back, I guarantee you get back to screaming, cussing at each other, that demon will be back there on your doorstep.
Absolutely. Why don't we do this? We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with demonologist and spiritual counselor, Reverend Neil Farley. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And this is just a quick shout out to Robert Pilot for Native Roots Radio Network. They've been very supportive of us. Don't forget, please, to listen to their show weekday, 6 to 7 p.m. Their Native American Talk Radio Show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin Cities issues. Their show, once again, listen to I'm Awake weekdays at 6 to 7 p.m. and the Native Symposium, We're Still Here, Sundays, 6 to 8. Please check it out. They're fantastic, wonderful people. And once again, Robert, thank you so much for all your support for my show. It is greatly appreciated. Next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, we're going to do some more one-question readings with Ane. Ane will actually be in studio next week, which will be a lot of fun. So please call in, send a note, or whatever you want to get a reading. You will not be disappointed. You've heard her on here before. You know that she has some very insightful things to tell people, so I hope that you will take part. For our final segment, we return to our guest today, who is demonologist and spiritual counselor, Reverend Neil Farley. Rev, how can people get a hold of you if they would like to ask you some questions? I'm glad you're ready for this.
You can reach me at God's Way, House Blessings and Cleansings on Facebook. And there's a post there that and there's also a form on there you can fill out to answer a few questions that I have there, and that's a great way to start. Or you can just follow me on Facebook, Neil Farley, and get mad at me for my political views and my what else, you know. But if you like I said, if you go to God's Way, House Blessing and Cleansing, you'll find a lot of information there. It'll help you on your way.
That's fantastic. Thank you. And I wanted to kind of go back to some of the questions that have been coming through the chat. Dawn, a couple things that she had said is that when talking about the idea of angels that we don't know that have inserted themselves into our lives, she had said that, "I know I've been saved from fire twice as a kid from a man no one else could see but me." And the question that she had for you is, and I'm assuming she means as far as mediumship is concerned, Rev, do you feel connecting with loved ones will open you up to a demon or other negative things?
It depends on your state of mind when you do that. If you are missing mom and you're at the beach or something, or a spot where the earth, something that triggers a loss of a loved one, I guarantee you there's no dark spirit going to come in there. One thing that, and I'll bring this up because one of the things that I have learned with this time off is about supporting your conscious day, because a lot of times these demons and these things come to you at night. If you have a more positive conscious day and fill your day with positive thoughts, and you're not thinking about negativity or you're not thinking about whatever you do during the day reflects in your subconscious night. So in other words, if you're thinking and worrying all day long, thinking about what's in your house, it's going to be impacted 10 times more powerful at night in your sleep. Understand that. So if you don't want something to be 10 times magnified from your day, change your day.
Yeah.
Change the change, you know, change what you can in your day, and it'll make a tremendous difference as far as what you see and what you feel at night.
You know, on the chat here, Pamela says high vibrations, which I couldn't agree with more. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I do these weekly spirit box sessions, but I didn't do one last week because my energy was extraordinarily low. I was not in a good place. And you have to, like we've been talking the entire show, you have to know when to kind of fold them, I guess. You know, little Kenny Rogers here is that
right.
If you're not ready, if you're not 100% committed, then you shouldn't be doing it at least that night or until you feel like that you can give it everything. Because even if I'm just turning on a spirit box and I just want to reach out to somebody, you gotta prepare yourself. There's all this whole stuff around it.
Right, and these things consume you. When you're in a full-blown demonic or demonic situation, it's 24/7. And that's 24/7 of feeding. So it's really, really important if you can go for walks, if you can do positive things during the day. Try to block not thinking about anything paranormal, demonic, or anything during the day. It will significantly change the things that are going on at night. I get a lot of people say most of the stuff happens at night. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen while they're at work and, you know, they're dealing with the kids. It happens at night when they're trying to sleep or relax.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Now, you are in Maryland, right?
Yes.
So I have Glenn on here on another, on my Minnesota Ghost Box page. He says, I live in Maryland. Has there been any cases of demon-possessed cases in Maryland? And I don't mean to laugh at Glenn. It's just the fact that that's where you are from. I'm sure you could say yes. Yes, there are.
Yeah, the Exorcist kid came from Maryland. You can start with that. That was Mount Rainier, Maryland. Mm. That he was the story of the Exorcist came. There are cases in Maryland. I've had some. That I've helped people in apartments, even, which is really difficult. But there, I can't think of really, you know, any severe cases like Amityville or anything like that. You know, in Maryland, you know, there's plenty of haunted, great haunted places, but I can't think of a demonic case that stands out in the state of Maryland. So. I guess we're blessed.
Right. I just was in Maryland. I drove like kind of through the bottom of it. I drove to Gettysburg, so I had to go through Maryland a couple times, and it's very nice from the freeway. I didn't spend a lot of time there.
I spent hours on the battlefield. It's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the spirits that are there are absolutely beautiful. The children, the farmers that are still there, the soldiers that, you know, that just don't want to cross over, whatever. They're beautiful people.
Yeah, no, it's the most amazing, probably one of the most amazing experiences that I've had doing what I do and being able to go out there, because it humbles you, and it also really made me think a lot. As we're wrapping up, Rev, once again, where how can they get a hold of you? What's the Facebook page name again, please?
God's Way House Blessings and Cleansings, and That's it.
That is it. Reach out.
Yep.
Reach out to Rev, please. He's back and better than ever. So I'm excited about that very much. So, you know, I hope we can have you back on here again. I hope you enjoyed it enough to come back on sometime.
Yeah, I hope I have some new experiences to share with you from helping people. And I look forward to getting back to talk to you too, my friend.
Absolutely. So Reverend Neil Farley is an ordained minister, demonologist, and spiritual counselor. Reverend Neil Farley will do house blessings and personal blessings for individuals or families in spiritual trouble. Please reach out to him if you would like his help. Once again, Rev, thank you so very much for joining us. This has been Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on The Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Thank you all for joining me. And we're going to be back next week with psychic medium tarot card reader, Anne. Take care.